Ki tēnei hōtaka, welcome to the panel, RNZ National. E whaiki nei e tēnei, coming up on the program, a supermarket duopoly is working against consumers, food producers and stifling the chances of further bigger players coming to the market, says the Commerce Commission report. So we talk about that with marketing expert Bodo Lang. And a professor steps down as acting dean of science after a backlash to a letter he co-authored claiming Māori knowledge is quote-unquote not science. Dr. Dan Hikaroa is with us this afternoon. And anxiety is the biggest issue in New Zealand's schools ahead of online bullying and vaping. Just why? Also, why don't people seem to chew gum as they used to? The panel on that. And there was a very interesting opinion piece on the last day or so on renaming of New Zealand as Aotearoa. So I thought I might sponsor a panel poll. If it came down to a referendum, would you vote to change from New Zealand to Aotearoa? Yes or no? Text us 2101. We will tell you the results at the end of the program. Well, I'm on ahead today. Claire Delore, writer for The Listener and also Rwanda's Honorary Consul General in New Zealand. Claire, lovely to have you on the show. It feels like it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I wasn't feeling the love there was.
Well, you're going to feel the love this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you on because, of course, Shane Te Pau is also on. He's the former executive member of the Labour Party, director at Mega, and he's a Herald columnist, and let's not forget the co-host of RNZ's Party People.
Party People, starting back here.
Yes.
On the 7th of September. Ooh. With Honourable Tohenare.
Nice.
Mihi Forbes and Annabelle Lee Mather. We're looking forward to it.
What a dream team. Very good. All right, so to this first, to the Olympics, Tomohekehe o Te Ao. New Zealand has won its first gold medal of the Tokyo Olympics with rowers Grace Pendergast and Kira Gawler winning the women's pair.
Kiwis, yeah, they edge on imperiously out to this gold medal. What a performance from the two women.
It's Prendergast and Gawler coming to the line. Looks like Russian Olympic Committee are poised to take a silver here, but Canada are going to have something to say about that. Up to the line then is Prendergast and Gawler, the world champions who now have the Olympic gold medal too.
Also at the Olympics, Emma Twigg came at number one in the women's single sculls, a dominating performance. And other news, mention has got to be made of New Zealand losing to Fiji 24-12 in the final of the Rugby Sevens. Fiji have now won back-to-back Rugby Sevens Olympic gold medals. And 22-year-old swimmer Lewis Claybert delivered a personal best in his heat last night. That saw him qualify for today, 200-metre semi-finals. And he's just finished the race. He's qualified for the final tomorrow. And Dave Cranston and covers swimming for Swim NZ on Facebook and writes for Swimming World magazine. Dave's with us. Kia ora, Dave.
Oh, g'day, Lewis. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah, good. Wallace, I think it is. But Lewis was the one who was swimming, right?
Wallace. Got the is right part.
Yeah. Hey, now, what a race. China's Shun Wang won the heat, the fastest qualifier for the final, but really only in the last few metres.
Yeah, well, Lewis has done a really good job getting into that final. He got a New Zealand record in the heat, just was outside it in the final. One of the things he did was he came about 14th in the turn after the boost stroke, and then shot right up from 14th to 3rd because of an excellent split of 27.55. But then what he did in the final is he did exactly the same split again in the final. In the semi-final, and now he got
Claire looks confused.
Oh no, just the reference to finals and semi-finals. It was the semi.
Yeah,
no,
it was the semi-final.
Semi-final. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Fourth in the heat of the semi-final, and overall he is ranked seventh, which is really good.
So a big deal for him to get into the final tomorrow.
Oh, it is. I mean, I can't think of a time when one swimmer has been able to get into two finals, probably before Lewis was born.
All right. Yeah. Well. You wouldn't really say.
But of course, we've had someone who's won two gold medals. I think Damien Loader.
Yeah.
I
don't know, and, Dave?
24 years ago, I think.
Yes. What,
26 years ago? Yeah, which is a long time ago.
Yeah.
What has Lewis Claybert said to you on how he prepares, Dave?
Oh, well, I actually asked him that a while back, and I asked him, what goes through your mind when you're on the blocks? And Well, he just says, I'll just go there with an open mind and race away. And that's what he said.
And he's clearly got a bit of hidden speed. Yeah.
He really has some hidden speed, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, yeah. Mm. His breaststroke is his weakest leg, yep. But he makes up for it in his freestyle, and that's what the difference is. He was the third fastest freestyle split in the heat, and I think he was also the third fastest in the final too, in the semi-final too.
Also, I'm not sure whether he's peaked yet. In terms of his strength, I think he's got perhaps another Olympics in him. And let's remember, folks, we're only three years away from the next Olympics. So, it's a very disciplined sport. You know, you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and often swimming long distances by yourself. But I wonder whether he's still got another Olympics in him, and we haven't seen the best of him yet.
Do either of you swim? Are you swimming people or?
No, not really. It's a bit cold and wet. Yeah. Just saying. Stating the obvious, I suppose, but it sounds like Shane might be a swimmer. Are you a swimmer?
I was brought up swimming.
Oh, is that right?
We're river swimming, and the other thing is that when we were brought up, swimming wasn't sort of seen as a sport. We had to go swim to get kaimoana to feed a family of seven and pick watercress. But
it was quite a big sport at my primary school because Pick Parkhouse was a famous coach.
Yeah.
And his daughters, Janie and Megan, were at our school.
Nice.
So I was at Whanganui pool quite often, clinging to the side of the pool with Pick Parkhouse, having to say, there's no such thing as can't. So eventually I did swim, but it took him quite a long time to get me to let go of the side.
Now, speaking of coaches, can I... I understand, Dave, New Zealand's Eve Thomas, the 800 freestyler, is also coached by Dean Boxall, as is the great Ariane Titmus, that Australian swimmer who has captured the world's attention. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They're both coached by Dean Boxall.
Amazing, yeah. Now, before we go, can I just ask you a little bit about both Ariane Titmus and Caitlin Deakey, because they are extraordinary swimmers and they've really sort of ignited the Olympics. What do you know of them?
Yeah, well, Caitlin Deakey has never been beaten in an Olympic final.
Wow.
She's always won an Olympic final, the 200, the 400 and the 800. This year is the first time they've done the 1500. And Caitlin Deakey holds the world record, but she still won 20 seconds over her PB.
Wow.
it's
one
amazing,
hour,
isn't it?
1 hour after swimming the 200 freestyle, which she came fifth. Mm. Now, that's the first time she hasn't come first. Second time she hasn't come first because she was with someone against Ariane Titmus and came second. Then she was in the next race and came fifth.
So I was reading an article in the New York Times about her, and it was saying that actually in the 1500 she would be almost impossible to beat. There's no one on earth who will even come close to beating her.
Oh, that's right, yeah. In fact, one of the best swimmers in the past is actually Lauren Boyle. She actually got a short course world record in 2015, but of course back then the 1500 metres wasn't on offer, which is why Lauren Boyle has never got an Olympic medal.
Right. Hey, Dave Crampton, covering swimming for Swimming Z and Swimming World magazine. Kia ora, Dave. And, of course, Lewis Claibert. Well, not of course, but the final is, I think it's 2:15 p.m. tomorrow, so we'll watch out for that. Claire, been following the Olympics at all, or just in and out?
I've been out of town, and I've been staying somewhere where there was no television and radio.
Right. Yes.
So I'm sorry. I haven't been very much.
Yeah. I'll stay up until I can't stay up any later. Watch anything and everything. Yeah. I like watching the listeners might disagree, what I reckon are the real Olympic events. Like, I love the swimming, I love the boxing, I love the, in the second week we'll have the track and field. And I love watching rowing, the event where the Kiwis won today and the gold medal. It was a masterpiece of self-control. Mm. Just great. Great to watch live sport and get behind the Kiwis.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. Very good. Hey, now, to our poll, we've had an extraordinary response on Twitter. Pages and pages and pages of people on our referendum this afternoon, and that is, if it came to a referendum, would you change the name of New Zealand officially to Aotearoa? Keep those coming. 0800 200 201, and we'll tell you the results of the poll at the end of the program. All right, time for I've Been Thinking. Claire Delore, you first.
I'm starting with a pretty serious subject, and that's about Afghanistan, because we are going to be seeing and hearing and reading a lot more than even now, very, very soon, with the full and final pullout of American troops. Now, people can debate whether or not they thought people should have gone into Afghanistan. The reality is they did, we did, and we were there for quite a long time. Now the Americans are leaving, and it's leaving 40 million people pretty well exposed to a very resurgent Taliban. They're already in charge of 50% of the country outside of the major cities, but also threatening the major cities and encircling some of them. This is a terrible disaster for women's rights, and also for anyone who's put their head above the parapet in terms of human rights or anything the Taliban disagrees with. And if you want to recall the barbarity of that particular regime when they were in charge before, you only have to look at the cover, I think it was a Time magazine, where there's a beautiful young woman and she's photographed and her nose and her ears were cut off for the simple crime of being with young men and or listening to music. You know, it's just an appalling rollback of women's rights. A women's rights activist who's spoken to me for an article I've got coming out in The Listener tomorrow told me, you know, the Taliban see a woman's place as either in the home or in a grave, and that is about right. And as we speak, human rights activists are being threatened there, and some have been executed, and a lot of it's very arbitrary. None of it's fair, none of it's right. But even if you just can't find a piece of paper soon enough, you'll get a bullet through the head. So I think, you know, we're still going to be saying, what can we do? But actually, we can do a bit. We can extract some people.
Yep.
And there's a particular person with a connection to New Zealand we could actually help. And you can read all about it tomorrow.
Very good. Claire Delore, nice one. Thank you. I've been thinking. Shane Tupou.
Yeah, I've been thinking that sometimes social media, you know, it often gets a bad rap. I'm very active, as you probably know, Wallace, on Twitter, and I've piled on people, and I've had people pile on me. But sometimes you see a ray of hope and ray of love.
Where?
On Twitter? Yeah. And there are some people that I sort of engage with that I have nothing in common in terms of politics, but we'll find something in common. We'll talk about maybe kids. We'll talk about barbecuing. We'll talk about food. We'll talk about wine. So I just tried a little experiment. I put a message out on last Monday saying, hey, Twitter folks, many of them I don't know. How about we meet for dinner on Friday night? Come along and we'll have a bit of a cordial face-to-face. And I sort of boxed it off to 30 people. And I got, and the numbers were filled within like 10 minutes.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So I saw that.
Yeah. So I'm,
did it actually work?
Yeah. Let's see if they turn up.
Yeah, that's right. But this is an example of Twitter going from an online life into a physical life in the good sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there are people that have sort of said they're going to come along. Some of them I don't have anything in
common. But what if someone turns up whose views you don't agree with?
Well, what I find in life is that often when you sit down and you're cordial with someone face to face, it's quite a different mantra than it is online. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The other thing is that I've noticed that, you know, sometimes on Twitter you get people that are quite lonely, people that are quite sad, and it's wonderful to see the humanity sort of reach out.
What do you think, Claire?
I'm really averse to Twitter.
Yeah.
I only look at it if something has directed me there.
I never, ever
comment. I seldom, if ever, on social media put a single comment.
Is that right?
Because I just can't stand the pile-ons. I watch other people being eviscerated for very, very simply holding a different view. And I think it's revolting. It really just doesn't appeal to me at all. It doesn't add to the sum total of human knowledge. Adds to misery. But good on you, Shane, for turning
it a crack.
For turning it into a real social event.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, we'll drink some good wine and have a good
what's
time.
What's the worst you can do?
Yeah.
Claire Delore and Shane Tupou with us. Kia ora to you all. Lovely to have you on the panel this afternoon, Thursday. Stay with us, 4 to 5, right here.